We've already started a little bit, as we've mentioned, that we are talking about real freedom. It is great, and I love the freedom that we have in America, even with all of our problems. And I know, like I've mentioned, we are broken. We are dealing with things. I was talking to Brittany, though, but there are places in this world that are dealing with those things at a much higher level. I know sometimes we get so focused on ours, it's the worst, but there are people in situations that are afraid for their life, and I know even we're getting to that point here. We never know. We're afraid for our life even. We never know who's going to walk in and do it, but we still have freedoms that other places in this world do not have, and I thank God for that. But let me just say this. The things that we have in this world have nothing to do with freedom. Because if we fix all of our problems, and we are so focused on fixing the problems, and you may have a totally different idea of what needs to be done to fix our problems, and we have people on both sides, I want to just let you know, even if they did everything that you and your side thinks they should do, it won't fix the problem. We have been living in civilization for thousands upon thousands of years, and the problem is not political. Eventually, it breaks down, because no matter what you do politically, governmentally, or even get rid of government, you know, God has given us a picture throughout the Bible, and part of that is to show us that no matter what he did, it didn't work. It started from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Here, we're not going to have any government. We're going to just everyone live life and enjoy everything." How many know that didn't work? Then he moved to more of a communal sense. We're gonna rely on one another. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, you know what? They didn't have to worry about kings or governors or rulers. Here was the thing. Every family takes care of their family. And if something happens and you avenge yourself, you take care, we're going to try that. You know what? That didn't work. He has tried kings. Let's try godly kings and those that rely on God. Eventually, those didn't work. He tried judges. Let's just not even have kings, but we'll just have judges that will go around and help people out and decide. That didn't work. I'm going to tell you, we need to get our eyes off of these political solutions, because the Bible has showed us the problem is not political or governmental. The problem is us. You see, no matter what organization you follow, here's the problem. You're dealing with broken people. We are all messed up ourselves. So no matter who's in control, eventually it's going to be messed up. We need to understand that the true freedom comes from Christ. God wants to get our eyes off of those things. And I'm not saying that those things are not wrong. And Jesus did not ignore problems. He walked with compassion. But here's what he said. He said, let's begin to be the solution of the problem ourselves. And begin to live a life where we draw closer to God, and God will take care of himself. Because here's the great thing. God's already got a plan. It says that there's coming a day when God is going to do away with all the nations. He's going to do with all the political things, and he himself will finally take control. Because he's the only one that rules in peace and perfect justice and perfect love. And there's coming a day when he will take control of the world. But until that time, we are to be the salt and the light in this broken world. And today I want to encourage you that there is freedom in Christ. That even in the midst of all the things that are going on, you can still have freedom. But here's the problem. We don't. It seems like we are caught up in all the things that are going on. And it seems like even though we know Christ, we are enslaved. We are enslaved with hatred. We are enslaved with judgmentalism and critical, and we want to criticize everyone else like we have the problem, and yet, you know what? We never look at ourselves. Jesus said, you know, you better take the camel out of your own eye before you take the speck out of others. And it's so easy for us as liberals to criticize the conservatives, as conservatives to criticize liberals. I'm going to tell you, we all need to put down the jawbone. Remember Samson with the jawbone that he killed everyone with? We understand that was out of his own envy and hate that all that happens. And that's what we are doing. We're not solving anything. All we are doing is driving each other further apart. We need to begin to move into the freedom that Christ gives us. And here's the great promise, that in the midst of the brokenness, we can be the solution. We can be the love. We can respond to the... I'm not saying we don't respond to the injustice of this world. We need to. But we need to respond in Christ and offer them true freedom. You see, there is freedom from fear. We sing about it. Many times, that's what drives us. We're afraid of losing what we want, or we're afraid of that. We need to be freed from greed. We need to be freed from self-focus. We need to be freed from doubt and anger and bitterness and legalism. All of these things enslave us. And even if you are enjoying a relatively good life, we all know that if we look within us, there's loneliness. There's regret. There's kind of a, is this all there is to life? You see, there's whatever your slavery is, we are all bound by things. Even if the world was to be put right, we would still be enslaved. And so Jesus wants to free us. So I want us to read this verse or this section of verses in John chapter 8. These are our text today, John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. This is what it said. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, and they said, 'We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?'" We're going to talk about that statement in a second. That is so like us. First of all, the Jews are saying, "We have never been enslaved to anyone." I think the Jews have been the most enslaved people of all history. But we'll get to that. So it says, "How are you going to make us free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I want to talk about this, that Jesus wants to set us free. Jesus desires to begin to start something in us that goes beyond our physical realm. It goes beyond the things that we are so focused on. And I'm going to tell you, those are tools of the enemy of our flesh, the enemy of this world, that want us to get focused on the political. It wants us to keep riling each other up. It wants us to keep stirring that up because it gets our focus off of the real promise that God wants to set us free. And he wants you to set other people free. But it starts with this recognition that freedom is spiritual. Freedom is spiritual. We've got to deal with the spiritual problems within us before we deal with the physical. God has a plan for the physical. See, we need to stop worrying about Trump or stop worrying about Hillary. Stop worrying about those because those are going to be gone anyway. You really do understand that that has nothing to do with our future. God is coming and Jesus will be our king. Jesus will rule this world. So why are we wasting breath over things that are not going to matter in a matter of years? And yet we're ignoring the very thing that is important and is tantamount, which is our spiritual existence. That which is within us, that which we can all feel that we struggle with. Jesus offers spiritual freedom. It is a freedom that frees us from anxiety, from our debt, even though God doesn't make any deposit into your bank account. It's a freedom that frees you from despair and anger in your relationships, even though God does not go to divorce court with us and save us from that. You see, it starts from within that God says the answer is by letting me in and letting me begin to transform you from within. That even though these things are going to be on the outside, if you let me transform you on the inside, given time, those things will be in God's hands. But it is a spiritual freedom that we need to begin to embrace. The second thing, though, it's not just spiritual, and I love this. He wants to give us a freedom that is purposeful. You see, when Jesus sets us free, there is a purpose to it. It's not just free. See, here's the freedom we want. God, I need freedom because here's what we really are saying. God, I want freedom because I just want to be in charge. Here's the problem. That's what you need to be free of. It's the selfishness, because freedom is not about doing whatever you want. That's what we many times we think about freedom. I want to do whatever I want, and I don't want any consequences. In fact, I want freedom from the consequences, and yet what does happen when we get that, because sometimes God will give us what we want, and it's the worst thing for us, because it just makes us more enslaved to fear, to regrets, to our own self-destruction in our choices, in the things that we do. But there's a purpose. God says, I want to set you free for a purpose. And that purpose is to be, I'm not part of the army, but to be all that you can be. God has created you. Do you know that God knew you? He knit you together when you were in the womb of your mom. Before you were even conceived, there was a purpose for you, and it was beautiful. God says you're his workmanship, that you were created for good works that he planned before you were even born. But you need to be freed to be what you need to be. Here's the thing. I love pianos. I can't play a lick. Well, I can maybe play a lick. That's about it. Two chords. But let's say I love the piano, and I want to do however I want to do. Forget rules. I just go up there and bang on that piano, and I can. How many have seen kids? They love it. You know, they just bang on that piano, and they're just enjoying it while everyone else is dying. Their ears are bleeding, right? It's not accomplishing anything, even though it's kind of enjoyable for the kid. But is that freedom, or is freedom, let me say, would you rather be free to do whatever you want, or would you rather go through the self-discipline that you were promised? Now, some of us say, I don't have the talent, but let's say you did have the talent, and I promise you that if you will listen to me, if you will let me teach you, and if you'll go through the discipline of doing it, that in 6 months, you'll be able to sit down and just play beautiful melodies. Who is more free? The person who has learned to discipline himself and now can enjoy music the way it was meant to be, or the person that's doing just what they want on that? You see, freedom is beginning to let yourself be constrained by boundaries, because in those boundaries, they create within you the possibility to do much more than just bang on the keys of your life. Many of us, our life is just a banging of keys because I'm doing what I want, and your life is hurting other people. And it's hurting yourself, and you don't even realize it. But Jesus's freedom, yes, there are boundaries, and there's discipline, and people don't like that. And I don't want you to tell me that you're the only way. But yet Jesus says, I'm not trying to be controlling. I'm not trying to just be this way. You do my way or the highway. It's like, I am saying this. I've given you these boundaries because in them, they create life and freedom to where then your life is going to be a masterpiece. It is going to be a joy, not only to yourself, but then to others. You see, that's freedom. And it's freedom with a purpose. It is a purpose that we begin to live life the way it was meant to be. And we begin to see a freeing sense within us when we submit to Jesus' touch. So it is both spiritual and it is purposeful. But finally, we need to understand that there are enemies that steal away our freedom. Freedom is not something that is just free. It's not something, because how many know we are enslaved? We have to fight against those things that hold us down. And so I want to just really quickly encourage you, because sometimes we need to see the things that deceive us so that we can recognize. Sometimes it's just recognizing the enemy that defeats it. The first thing we need to understand when we look at the enemies of our freedom is that the first enemy is ignorance. How many know that the biggest thing the enemy wants you to know is to not know that you're enslaved? Because as long as you don't even know you're enslaved, he's got you. You know, we're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not enslaved. It's kind of like the person who has a terrible terminal heart disease and never knows it. Now, would you like to go through life not knowing? Some say, I'd rather not know. But if there's a cure to it, we have a friend that a year or two ago passed away. And for years, she had this cancer that if she had only found out, it would have been 100% curable. But because of ignorance, and when she finally did decide to go and found out, it was too late. Ignorance will steal our freedom. And many times we want to put our heads in the sand. We don't want to know, but yet God is crying out, you need to know that sin is enslaving all of us. We are all broken. We all have that disease, but God has the cure. Don't wait till it brings death. Don't wait, because ignorance will steal your freedom. We need to realize that being told of the love of Christ is not hateful. It is not mean. It is actually loving. Now, many people do it in a hateful fashion, and that is not Christ, and that's not what it's meant to be. And I apologize for those people, but we need to see beyond those. Don't let them keep us away either. We need to know. And it says, Jesus said this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to know the truth, and that is why he has given us the great word of God. This is a blessing. This is sometimes we don't like what's in it. How many know when you go to the doctor and he tells you things, you don't like what he says, but thank God he tells you, because it saves you from a lot of things. Well, the word of God is the truth, and the truth will set us free when we get out of ignorance and begin to humbly seek out the word of God. But the second thing is arrogance. There's one thing to be ignorant, but the second thing is be arrogant. The Jews were arrogant. Who are you to tell us? And many of us are like that. God, you're not going to tell me what to do. God's saying, it's not about me telling you what to do. I'm trying to set you free. And yet we are arrogant because I want my own way. See, that's the nature of the slavery that we are in, that we are arrogant about it. And we need to be careful that we let pride and arrogance separate us from freedom. When we're right on the edge, if we will humble ourselves, that is so hard. And we live in Americans especially. If you go around the world, first thing if you said, describe an American, almost everywhere we've gone all over the world, first thing we'll say, arrogant. Because we think we're the best, and we know everything, and it's all about us. Until we humble ourselves, we will never be free. We need to be free from that. The Jews were pretty close behind. The Jews were arrogant. You know, we've never been enslaved. We know that they've been enslaved by the Egyptians. They were enslaved by the Assyrians. They were enslaved by the Babylonians. They've been enslaved even in recent times by everyone in the world. And yet they were so arrogant to say that, you know, Jesus, you can't even tell us what we need. We need to humble ourselves, because we do the same thing and begin to say, God, I will listen to you, and let down our arrogance. Third thing is our reluctance. We're ignorant, we're arrogant, but sometimes we're just reluctant. Sometimes, and let's be honest, sometimes it's just hard to follow Jesus. because it means I have to let go of some things and I'm just reluctant. And how many know, even when you go to the doctor, says, you know what, if you don't do this, you're facing some hard consequences. And how many know, and you, we all know people that went home and just still couldn't make that decision because it was just too hard. We are reluctant. We need to begin to come to a point that, man, to change my diet, man, to stop doing this, to stop going here, do I really need to do it? And we start to negotiate. Well, if I do it just a little bit. Reluctance, I understand it because I'm the same way, but here's the bottom line. In the end, it will steal our freedom. We will be enslaved until we stop the reluctance and just make a decision. Sometimes you got to just bite the bullet and do what you need to do to be free. And I'm telling you, the freedom is worth it. Because that's the other thing we start to think, well, yeah, but is the freedom really worth it? It is. Yes, it is worth it. We need to begin to let go of it because that brings us to the other thing is complacency. Sometimes we're reluctant, but then finally we negotiate out of when we're so reluctant. Sometimes if we'll get to the point, well, that's fine, I'll just let it happen. And when it happens, it'll happen. And we're just complacent. We just give up. And that's such a sad thing. It's like we begin to settle for something that's little when we could have had something big. God wants to give us not just a little bit of freedom. He wants to give us life. This is what Jesus said, abundantly. Life abundantly does not mean going out and partying and woohoo and having millions of dollars and living life big. That's not abundantly. In fact, many times that is inferior. That is just more enslaving, and it brings you lower than the abundant life that God wants to give us, which is life of peace and joy and confidence and purpose and fulfillment, that I've made a difference in this life, that life matters. Sometimes that's better than having $1 million. I know that's hard to see sometimes, but don't fall into complacency. I'm okay. I don't need any more. We get so complacent that it steals our freedom. So what do we need to do? Jesus said in the verses that we read, he said there's a process. And this is throughout the Bible. There's always these words, if, then. You read it from the Old Testament through the New Testament. Jesus always says it's really simple, if, then. And the if is our part, and the then is God's part. And God says, if you'll just do this, I'll do this. It's not an equal giving and taking. God says, I understand that it's all going to be on my part, but if you will just take the first step. In this step, Jesus said, if you will abide in me, then I will set you free. You see, I'll give you the world. I'll give you the universe. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will live. And even if you live, you will never die. God has a plan for us that is bigger than anything. If you'll just abide. If you'll just abide in me. Now, what does that mean? That's a big if. First of all, when you think of abiding, it means perseverance. Because to abide means to kind of stay. Okay? That means you got to dwell someplace. To abide means to not be flitting here and there. You need to understand that God's the only way. I'm sorry, I know that in this world that's a big argument, but God is our creator. There is no other God. He knows what we were made and how we were made, and he has provided the answer. He doesn't even expect you to do it. I love that in that video we watched where she said, we are good at keeping and breaking rules, but it's not about rules. It's about God living in us. But if we will understand that and choose to abide, and that means we got to stay there. That means even when it gets hard, because sometimes it seems like God's not there. Even though he is, we got to hold it out. We got to walk through the valleys. We got to walk through some. You can't give up. So abiding, he's saying, if you will hold on to me, if you'll not give up, I'll set you free. Because most of the time what happens is we give up right before freedom comes. you know, right on the other side if we will just keep pushing through, and yet we give up. So abiding in me says, if you will follow me, Jesus, and not give up, but you will abide, you will dwell, you will persevere, I will repay your efforts. You see, I will make it right. Things may not be fair right now, but you abide. See, I'm gonna be honest. God does not promise us, like the old song, a rose garden. But he promised that at the end there will be a harvest. But you got to push through. He uses terms like the farmer and a soldier. How many know sometimes the wars are long, but it's worth it in the end. The farmer, the summer's long, but when harvest comes, it's worth it. Jesus says life is long and hard, but if you hold on to me, it'll be worth it. So abiding, if you will not give up, if you will hold on to me, it will be worth it. But the second thing is not just perseverance, but it says, if you will abide, to abide means that it's connected to a place, a location, a fixed point. To abide means that you pick a place and you stay there, but you pick a place. To abide does not mean I'm going to believe in this for a while, and I'm going to follow this, and a little here and there. It's a place, and here's the place. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and I know this is hard, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's one place. And to abide means you accept Jesus and Jesus alone. And there's no compromise in that. Now, I might say, well, couldn't we find, you know, there's some good philosophies out there if I follow these teachings. It's not that they're not good philosophies. It's not that there's not good religion, but religion won't get you to God. And here's why Jesus is the only one, because Jesus is the only one that paid the price that cured the sin problem that we have. See, no other religion, no other philosophy pays the price for sin. Those are all ways that we're trying to get to God, whereas with Jesus, Jesus got to us. See, Jesus knew that we could never reach to him. So it's not about a religion where we just try and do these things. Jesus said, I'm going to go to you. I will come to you. That's why it says that we have freedom in Christ. We don't have freedom in his teachings. Now, some people try and find freedom in his teachings. And Jesus is a good teacher. And I'm going to follow him and do what he wants. That's not where you get freedom. Freedom comes from Christ. You have to let Christ save you. That means a freedom of submission, that I submit to him, that I find my freedom in Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will be free. So we need to accept the final point and place of freedom. It's not just because he's being arrogant. Jesus is not just being ignorant of what you're going through. Jesus is not just being flippant that you just have to come to me. It is because that's the only way. If there was any other sacrifice, in fact, Jesus even prayed this to God. He said, God, if there's any other way, do it. But thy will be done. Because there was no other way but through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Because we are enslaved. And if we come to Jesus, we understand that he will set us free. I want you to just watch this little skit.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I want to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I like to play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know. And then sometimes I like to rattle the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to him after you're done playing games with him?
Usually I feed him to my cat. Yeah, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. The funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm gonna put games into their life that they think is gonna bring them so much pleasure that I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So, I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they've promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious.
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
The question is, will you be free? Will you let his payment be worth it? Or will we turn our back on it as if it was nothing and just continue in slavery? Because we can stay in the cage until death and damnation comes. Or here's the free invitation. If we will choose to abide in Christ and be set free. It's already been paid. Nothing you have to do. You don't have to do anything, but you got to choose Christ and stay in him. That's it. And then he'll transform you and renew you if we will trust him and embrace that. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for the freedom of our nation. We thank you for the liberties we experience, but God, we realize that means nothing. God, even if we were able to change our nation, even if we are able to solve all the problems, God, it's a fool's errand. It's a deception because, God, that's not the problem. The problem is us, our brokenness. And God, only you can heal that. God, I pray that we would just offer ourselves to you in humility, that you would reduce our ignorance as we fill our hearts with the truth, that God, you would break our arrogance as we humble ourselves in you. That God, you would pull us out of our reluctance by showing us all we have to gain. And God, break our complacency with the passion that you have for us. God, set us free. I pray that we would respond. And I know that you know that some will and some won't. But God, let us be the people that will. For your glory, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you, and we're not going to take a decision or have you acknowledge anything, and that's great, and that's the first step. You do need to make that choice. But I'm more concerned that you begin to abide. It's not about one prayer that you pray. It's about a continuing life. And that's where we all come in, because we're all doing this together. We're all broken, so it's not like we're more spiritual than you. And that's why we do this together. That's why we call this church. But what it really is, it's just a group of broken people trying to abide in Christ together, because it's easier to do it together, to lean on one another, to grow in him. So we encourage you to join us, grow together, seek God, fill our minds with the truth, and together enjoy the freedom that he has. Let's stand, and we're just going to close with a word of worship. And I encourage you in your own heart, make that decision. Will you decide to abide, to follow him, to embrace him, and go from there? I do want to say before you leave, we have a gift for everyone here today. And see, this is what freedom gives you. You go with something. So definitely pick up, we've got some bags in the back for you. And once you get those bags as you leave, come all the way around. You can go around either way and join us for our meal. Amen. Let's worship.